Hey, good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Coming up this hour, we'll get updates from the Manhattan Fire Department. Ryan Alms and Ryan Courtright joining us later on in the hour. Linda Tiener, Executive Director of the UFM Community Learning Center, will join us around 9:45 this hour. But we're going to start things off first talking with USD 383 Manhattan-Ogden Schools. We have Superintendent Marvin Wade joining us by phone. Marvin, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And we have board member Jardine Coleman also by phone. Jardine, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have you both in. A new setup here we have, doing a three-way call, which is working pretty well, it sounds like. So a pleasure. And things are a little different right now going on with the schools. And we're going to start talking first, though, about some good news here. And I wanted to allow you guys an opportunity to talk about donations and grants.
Okay. Want me to go ahead and do that one, Jardine?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. As far as the donations and grants that we've got, which we always, you know, always appreciate, the donations and grants, they really do make a difference for our students and our families. So always appreciate those and the opportunity to be able to thank the people, you know, here on KMAN. So as far as donations and grants for tonight's meeting, we've got $12,040 cash grant from Riley County Raising Riley to College Hill Early Learning Center for reduced fees for families. We've got $15,000 cash donation from Manhattan Ogden Public Schools Foundation to USD 383 for the 2020 Summer Reading Program. And then there are several cash donations from Manhattan Ogden Public Schools Foundation to USD 383 Schools for Classroom Use. And those total $31,938.75. There's Amanda Arnold Elementary, $5,845.88. Frank Bergman Elementary, $4,615.50. Bluemont Elementary, $3,315. Lee Elementary, $3,315. Marlatt Elementary, $4,526.25. Northview Elementary, $4,035.38. Ogden Elementary, $388.88. Theodore Roosevelt Elementary, $2,722.13. And Woodrow Wilson Elementary, $3,174.75. So all total, all of those donations together are $58,978.75. So again, we appreciate, you know, all the donations and grants that we get.
Yeah, fantastic. And you know, now those donations and grants, obviously, more helpful than ever.
Oh, you know, there's always great uses for that, and a lot of times they go to areas that we would not be able to fund otherwise. So it really does make a difference.
Very good. You know, we've seen a lot of good things happening in our community under this whole pandemic in the last couple of weeks, and one of the highlights, I think, here locally has been all the free meals that have been provided by all the different area schools.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually able to pull up the list of our feeding sites.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because, you know, convenience, I get to be in front of a computer screen for this call. So we're at Lee Elementary, Northview Elementary, Ogden, TR, Woodrow, Bluemont. The Susan B. Anthony location is moving, but currently they're still serving at Anthony. Colonial Gardens, River Chase, Redbud, Hillside Apartments, Flint Hills Place, Pebblebrook Circle, Scenic Woods Apartments, and Highland Ridge. So we are covering the entire community to make sure that students are still able to have nutritious meals for breakfast and lunch.
I want to give a shout out to Stephanie Smith, the child nutrition director, and her staff, because when all of this was breaking loose, you know, maybe about 3 weeks ago, they were right on top of it in terms of getting the waivers in to be able to do things differently with providing meals, and they've been on top of it all along the way. There's been a lot of changes coming from the federal level down through the state to the local districts, and she's watched that closely. Every time there's been any kind of paperwork, any kind of thing that needed to be done in order to serve our students and the families better, she's been right on top of it. And so they've constantly been making adjustments, making things better. And I understand there's some more waivers that are going to be coming through here just in the next day or two that should really help with that process as well. So, you know, appreciate everything they've been doing to make this work.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, it's neat to see that it's open up to anyone 1 to 18. Don't necessarily have to be a student that you'll get fed if you go out there at 11:30 to 12:30 every day. And those, of course, are available at several locations. And I think it's neat that you're even you've got some meals being delivered to some of those neighborhoods that desperately need it.
Yes, and those are some of the things that are reflecting in the guidance. That it's not just that all of a sudden we say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. There's a process that there has to be approval granted to be able to do those things because we are using federal funds. And that's the behind-the-scenes piece that I was talking about a minute ago, that they're just really on top of to allow us to be able to do those things.
Yeah, and if you're not sure if there's a feeding site near you, you can go on to the USD 383 Child Nutrition Department Facebook page, and they have a link to an interactive Google map that shows you which school sites have lunches and breakfasts available, and then also where the delivery pickup spots are as well. They've made it very easy for families.
That's great. Well, this is such a good program, and kudos, yeah, as you said, to Stephanie Smith for all the hard work she's been doing behind the scenes there. Let's talk a little bit about tonight's agenda. Of course, you guys are meeting at 6:30, and the meetings have changed a little bit. We'll be done via Zoom tonight, and we'll have a link on the website. Is that where you got to find it?
We are going to be using Zoom, and it's synced up with Facebook Live, so people can watch it there. And one of the things that's, like you said, it's going to be at 6:30, and people will be joining us remote. One thing that is a little bit different, Brandon, I wanted to let people know is there's been changes recently in the revisions to the Open Meetings Act, mm-hmm. because we can't get together physically like we have in the past. So we have changed one aspect of what we do, and that's the citizen comment portion. It used to be until tonight, that people could come to the meeting and make comments there at the meeting. But because we're limiting the access of people to come to the meeting, on our website, www.usd383.org, under the board, or under the Board of Education, it talks about the citizen comments at the board meeting, that now, because of COVID-19, if people want to make comments at the meeting, we need them to send their comments to the board clerk by noon of the day of the meeting. And again, if they go to the website, they'll see this. But what we need is the person's name, their address, their phone number, and then their comments, so the comments could be read out loud at the board meeting. And this isn't an attempt to try to stifle anybody as much as to maintain the transparency, give people access without them having to physically be at the meeting. So I wanted people to know that up front.
Right.
Don't want your comments. We just have to change the way that we're doing that to keep everybody safe and healthy.
And I've watched a couple of meetings via Facebook Live, and I know a lot of people will ask questions during that, but you guys can't, as I understand, you guys can't see those questions in real time.
No, it's a little challenging to try to keep up with the questions that are online, but I know Michelle Jones, who is monitoring the Facebook Live broadcast, she often will try to answer people's questions, or she directs people to email her directly to get those answers if it's not something that is covered explicitly during the board meeting.
And one of the cautions we have is that it is a meeting of the board in public, just like it always has been, whether it's Zoom or Facebook Live or before any of those things were in place. The board's meeting, the board doing its work, and then the audience is there. So we don't want to have too much give and take between the audience and the board during the meeting itself. So we discourage people sending the questions and expecting them to be answered right there at the board meeting, because the board does have a lot of other work that they need to be getting done at that meeting.
All right. Again, get those comments to them by noon, and the meeting's at 6:30 if you want to participate in citizen comment here. Let's take a quick break, and we'll dive into some of the agenda items here. We'll do that next here on News Radio KMAN.